Let's lift our voice in praise together. Oh, our Lord.
Oh, our Lord. Oh, our Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth.
Oh, our Lord.
In all, our Lord. Oh, our Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth.
We behold the breaking dawn.
We behold the breaking dawn, the light that shines over everyone. We look to you, we long for you, oh Lord.
We behold the rising sun.
We behold the rising sun, the earth awakes, your hope has come. We look to you, we long for you, oh Lord.
Oh, our Lord.
Oh, our Lord. Oh, our Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth.
We behold the falling rain.
We behold the falling rain, like waters rise, flood this place. We reach for you, we cling to you, oh Lord.
We sing, oh our Lord.
Oh, our Lord. Oh, our Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth.
Oh, our Lord.
Oh, our Lord. Oh, our Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth.
In all the earth.
In all the earth.
Oh, your name is a light in the darkness. Let's declare it.
Oh, your name is a light in the darkness. Oh, your name is a word of truth. Oh, your name. Oh, your name. Oh, your name is a light in the darkness. Oh, your name is a word of truth. Oh, your name.
The rising sun.
We behold the rising sun. The earth awakes. Your hope has come. We look to you. We long for you, oh Lord.
One last time to sing, oh our Lord.
And oh, our Lord. Oh, our Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth.
Oh, our Lord.
Oh, our
your name in all the earth.
In all the earth.
In all the earth.
You know, the God that we've been worshiping, we've been singing of his power and of his might. And he is the God of all power. He's the God of all strength. The book of Revelation calls him, he's the Lion of Judah, the overcoming one. But it also says that he's the Lamb that was slain. And the gospel stands alone, that the center of our faith is not overcoming by force, by overcoming, by laying down of one's life. And so we remember that this day as we worship, as we think about the cross of Calvary. Let's sing.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree.
Let's sing. His body bound.
His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
Let's sing, oh praise the name of the Lord our God.
Oh praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God.
Then on the third.
Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For in this days we will sing.
This last verse, an expectation. He shall return.
He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus.
Oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord.
Let's sing again. Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
Oh,
For me, my greatest fear was that I didn't know enough. I didn't know enough scripture, didn't know how to pray well enough, and that I would fail.
My biggest fear was being afraid that I didn't have all the skills and couldn't do this on my own.
I think my biggest fear or concern when we started our life group was that we had a young child, like our oldest was under 2 years old, and just trying to figure out how are we gonna do this with him, bedtime schedule, you know, just time management of all of that.
Well, my biggest fear was that I probably wouldn't have enough time to do it because of my travel schedule. And I'm kind of like a perfectionist where I just need my house to be nice and clean and organized. I felt very unprepared.
For me, it was the commitment. The commitment was a concern, as I do have a small business I run, so I wasn't sure how much time I would be investing.
People did come and they came consistently, and you know, we developed really, really great friendships.
And they came. People kept coming. It was not always perfect, but it was a place that people felt safe to come to, and we were able to offer that.
By leading this life group, it's bonded our family because we have a family group. We meet outside, and we've also been able to lift and be lifted by the other members of the life group.
The reward of leading the life group is it built friendship, relationship, and most of all, it built my character. It made me humble and more patient.
I love that whether we in our peaks, our highs and lows, and valleys or mountain, we got to share with other people, and they pray for us and they walk through with us. And that's what the most rewarding for us.
Truly, we have become a family, and it is a gift that we just couldn't have anticipated.
Leading a life group is a great way to connect with others, grow in your own walk with Christ, and use the gifts that God has given you to serve others. If you are interested in starting a conversation about what it might look like to lead a life group, or if you're interested to join a group, we would love to chat with you. You can visit our website for more info. Well, let me say welcome. We are so glad that you are with us today, and a special welcome to any guests or visitors that are joining us. If you are a young adult, ages 18 to 35, and you are looking to find your people and your purpose, we want to invite you to join us for Thursday Night Fusion. It kicks off on Thursday, August 5th, and it's a place where young adults will gather, connect, and learn together what it means to be a broken people restored. We want to say thank you so much for your giving and generosity. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website by clicking on the Give tab. Well, last weekend at our indoor services, we had a chance to celebrate baptisms, and I wanted to share a quote from one of the students who was baptized, so I'll read that for us now. Before I trusted Jesus, my life felt monotonous. It was like I was just trying to get through the day, the week, the year. The bits of joy I experienced were fleeting and unfulfilling. When I realized that I was helpless and desperately in need of a Savior, I decided to trust Jesus and Jesus alone for my salvation, and I gave my life to Him. Jesus met me, saying that He is my heart's surgeon and my soul's friend. Since then, He has comforted and encouraged me. He's constantly been right next to me, helping me as I live the day for God, love, and fun. I now want to keep His word close to my heart and take the next step for Christ. So let's give God thanks for this story as well as those who were baptized recently. Would you join me as we pray together? God, thank you so much for this story we just got to read and for this student's life who has been changed by you and what you have done for us on the cross. And Lord, we thank you for all the recent stories of people who have given their life to you, made first-time decisions or recommitments, and people who've gotten baptized and are following you, Jesus. So God, we just pray that you would strengthen their faith in you and deepen their trust in you. God, I also pray for anyone who might be joining us who isn't yet sure what they believe about you. And I just pray that you would speak to them and show them without a doubt who you are, and that they would come to know and trust you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. So God, be with us through this service. Encourage us, speak to us. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, now we'll have an opportunity to hear our kingdom update from Scott Quay.
Well, hey, church family, it's a Kingdom Weekend where we take time once a month to highlight how God has been moving on mission through our church. I want to start by saying a huge thanks to the 120 plus people who served with us for the July 24th serve day with One Day LA. We were able to do 6 different serve sites and put on outreaches for foster families, homeless families, women in rehab, our neighbors in Eagle Rock, and did a teacher's lounge remodel at a public high school. We're going to have a highlight video to share in the coming weeks. So if you want to get involved in our local kingdom efforts, we do an outreach event every month and have ongoing ways you can serve. You can find more information at cachurch.com/kingdom. Well, now we get to have the honor to hear from our kingdom partners, Elam Ministries in the Iran region. Let's check out their exciting update together.
Hi, dear friends at Christian Assembly. I want to say a big thank you from the bottom of my heart for your prayers, for your support, for your encouragement for many years now to help us strengthen and expand the church in the Iran region and beyond. It is amazing for us to see every single day people coming to Christ, the church growing, people being discipled, and lives being transformed. I want you to know 3 things. 1, there is more evangelism happening all over Iran than ever before. People are talking about Jesus all the time. My favorite story from the last month is a young boy, 6 years old, who led his grandfather, 82 years old, to Christ. After he received his first children's Bible, he showed them his grandfather the scriptures and started talking to his grandfather about Jesus, and his 82-year-old grandfather came to Christ. There's discipleship happening, one-to-one discipleship. A beautiful story of a mullah who came to Christ, a mullah, an Islamic leader who came to Christ and has been discipled and has led 2 other people to Jesus. This is incredible. And then thirdly, something you've also prayed for and helped us with, the Bible is getting all over the country. I saw a beautiful video of a man who received his first New Testament, 2 New Testaments in fact. He got a package and he sent this video as he was driving home, and he said, "I haven't opened it yet. I received it from the person who delivered it." He said, "I am going home. I can't wait to get home so I can open this most precious gift with my wife." So guys, the church is growing. There are challenges, there's persecution. We need your prayers. We need you to keep standing with us in prayer for those courageous Christians who are preaching the gospel, but also stand with us in prayer for those lives that are being transformed. And we're so thankful for all that you do. May God bless you. May God bless Christian Assembly in all that you do. Thank you.
Well, it's incredible how God's moving in Iran right now. And I'm so thankful that we get to be a part of it through our partnership with Elam. I'm amazed by our brothers and sisters in Iran who have such a fervent faith and are sharing their faith with others and making disciples. Thanks for your generosity to the Kingdom Offering that has helped contribute to efforts such as distribution of New Testaments, church planting, and disciple making in Iran. Would you join me in prayer? Well, Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing in Iran, just the way that you're moving in such incredible ways. And we pray especially, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in persecution. God, we pray you would give them strength, boldness to continue to follow you in the midst of opposition. We pray that you'd bring protection to them as well. And God, we pray the gospel will continue to move forth as Bibles are being distributed, as disciples are made, and as churches are planted. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, CA family, thanks so much for your prayers, service, and generosity to be a part of such amazing things God's doing both locally and globally. You can give to the Kingdom Offering, which supports all of our missional efforts that are having tremendous impact. You can give online by clicking the Kingdom Offering tab. Thanks so much for linking arms in God's mission together.
I want to bring a deep, heartfelt summer greeting to all the CA family and to any others who might be joining us online. May the Lord richly bless you. Before we jump into this week's learning time, I wanted to announce that Tommy and Robin Walker, along with Arlene and myself, are going to host a 2023 February, the month of February. We're going to host a CA trip to Israel. So if that has been on your bucket list, if you'd love to explore the land of the Bible with some of your church family, this is your opportunity. We're giving you at least a year and a half out, so you got time to plan and you got time to save money. If you would like an itinerary, you can contact the office and we'll be happy to send that to you, giving a projected price and some of the necessary details. So we'd love to have that experience with you. 2023 trip to Israel. We continue on in our series in the Psalms. Meyer Friedman, a famous cardiologist, coined a phrase that has become a common part of all of our vocabulary, and that phrase is the A-type personality. His research led to this finding, that people who are driven, people who are hurried, people who are anxious, angry, impatient, and irritable, they are killing themselves. They are literally, by their choices, causing heart disease. Now, this discovery was helped by a most unlikely situation. His office manager had hired an upholsterer who had a shop just close to his office and had hired them to reupholster some of the chairs that they had in their waiting room. One day, a conversation occurred between the upholsterer and Dr. Friedman, where he said, you know, it's interesting, in my 40 years of experience, I would think that the wear pattern on the chairs in your waiting room would be over the entire seat. But I found that the wear pattern is exclusively on the edge of the seat. As they talked, he said, what this is announcing is that the people who are here, they don't want to be here. They're announcing they don't have the time to be here. They're telling you, chop, chop, hurry up, let's get on with it. Really, they are anxious, they are upset, and they are afraid. Now, that shouldn't be any surprise to us. We are all raised in a frantic, hurry-up culture, and we're killing ourselves as well. The question that I want to ask is, how much are you living on the edge of the seat of your life? Driven, anxious, irritable, gripey, afraid, and in all of it, missing the present now moments of your life. God in Psalm 23 invites you and I to other than a way that is insane. This way was expressed long ago in some of the most known words ever in all of literature, for certainly in all of the Bible. Psalm 23 sets before us that there is a radically different way to live life, but no one chances into it. No one drifts into it. It must be chosen. We're going to look together at Psalm 23, and we're going to ask, what choice points am I being asked to make if I want to live in this way that God offers? Would you join me as I read these fabulous words from Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. You want to say it? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These are the words of our great and living God. Well, let's pick some of this apart, just piece by piece. First, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, be very clear, there is an alternative choice. And that choice is, I decide I have no shepherd. I face the weight, the pressures, the trouble, the circumstances, and the pain of life all on my own. But know this, that life without a shepherd is an unceasing experience of worry. Who believes that if you worry enough, that that'll finally get you what you want? The circumstances of your life will finally begin to roll in your favor if you can just worry enough. Not one of us believes that. And yet we give ourselves to life without a shepherd all the time. Who has concluded that worry has been the most constructive and life-giving way to handle the realities of your life, like your finance, your relationship, your job, your health, and your future? Psalm 23 shouts to us that there's a better way, another way, and you can choose to live in the constant care of the Good Shepherd. Now, the author of this Psalm 23, it's, what does he know about shepherding? Well, it's David, and his first most important job was a shepherd. He knew shepherding because he'd been one. He knew that the fate of sheep depends on the shepherd. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd, looks at Psalm 23, says that sheep don't take care of themselves well at all. In fact, he says sheep require more attention and care than any other class of livestock. Dallas Willard said that this frantic, hurried up kind of life that we live is the great enemy for all of us. He says there's this enormous difference between being hurried and being busy. Busy is a condition of having many things to do, but to be hurried is an inward condition. I am so filled with worry, I am consumed with anxiety, that it makes it impossible for me to live in the presence of the Heavenly Father, and makes it impossible for anybody to be present with me. You can't be with me because I'm so filled with fear and with worry. Confront hurry, or you're going to miss the beauty of life itself. We all live with an illusion that one day things will finally settle down, but they don't, and they won't. Jesus, who knew Psalm 23, said, his words are recorded in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. There is really a good shepherd, but you must ask him to be your shepherd. Be my shepherd. Have you resolved the shepherd issue? Dr. Warren Gill, the head of the department, professor of husbandry at Middle Tennessee State University, says that sheep spend up to 10 hours a day grazing. And the other waking hours, they spend chewing the cud. Chewing the cud. The technical term for it is ruminate. They are ruminating. He says that sheep enjoy ruminating. But he says for them to ruminate effectively, sheep must be relaxed and comfortable. They must be at ease. Now guess what? Humans also ruminate. The big question is not will you ruminate, but what will you ruminate on? You're going to ruminate on something. Instead of ruminating on what people without a shepherd ruminate on, sitting on the edge of the seat, anxious, impatient, angry, instead ruminate on Jesus. You can actually choose to do that. You have a good shepherd. The Lord is. This is not some ideology. This is not some philosophy or concept for discussion. The Lord actually is. He exists. He is more real than anything that you can see or that you can touch. The Lord is my. The shepherd deal now becomes very personal. In fact, what the shepherd wants above all else is relationship with you. How much do you matter to the good shepherd? Think of all that a shepherd will do to protect and guide and care for and know each one of his sheep. In fact, that's why Luke 15 is the great story of the shepherd who is in search of the one and will stop at nothing in his search for that shepherd. Jesus is the one who does this for you. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, again, let me remind you, there is an alternative. There is another choice, another way. And it's life without the shepherd. Secondly, he says, I have all that I need. I shall not want. Because the Lord is my good shepherd, providing, caring for me, I can really live in a contented, joyful, grateful life. I refuse to live as though all that I am is just a collection of unsatisfied appetites. The word want means to be driven by unsatisfied desires. Therefore, I live chronically discontented and disappointed. A sheep is really one big appetite, and it is being driven by its desire to satisfy that one big appetite. And the way that a sheep gets that done is by following the sheep who are in front of it. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. All we like sheep have strayed. Now, how is it that sheep go astray? By following the sheep in front of it. Yes, literally. Sheep are not proactive, thoughtful, reflective animals. Now, when the Bible likens us to sheep, you need to know this is not a biblical compliment. It is a biblical insult. None of us want to think of ourselves as sheep. When is the last time you heard of a school announcing that their mascot was going to be a sheep? Never. We want to be lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. One sheep goes off a cliff, and yes, it is true, the rest of them will follow to their death. You would think that at least one sheep would ask the question, you know, I haven't seen Dexter for the last couple hours. Have you seen him? Oh yeah, I saw him. He was heading towards the edge of the cliff. In fact, I think I saw him go off. You would think that one of them would then say, you know, we better stop and do some investigative work before we take one more step. Isn't it a good thing that we are nothing like that? All we like sheep. The truth is, we all have sheep-like tendencies. There's this amazing flock component to human beings. In fact, some of the brightest people, most well-paid people on the planet, work all day to come up with ways to convince you that you are just one acquisition away. See, the flock says you can't be happy until you've gotten bigger and better. I shall not want. I have all that I need. Will you spend your life believing that you are going to be driven by just unsatisfied desires? Who among us is really wealthy? Is it the person who has much, but they always want more? Or is it the person who has less, but they live with gratitude in each moment and for every day? I have all that I need. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green meadows, in green pastures. Now, there is an alternative. You can stay standing. You can live in a frantic, controlling activity. You know, interesting, sheep don't want to lie down because it gives them the feeling that they are losing control. I'm a control freak. And you're just like me. I want to control. I want to control the circumstances of my life and the people who are in it. We are so big on control, but it's all an illusion. I don't control the outcomes of life. What gives sheep the assurance that they can lie down is the presence of the shepherd. Only then can they lie down in green meadows. Here's a secret. Wherever you are, in the presence of the shepherd, that place becomes a green pasture. Wherever you are, in the presence of the shepherd, becomes a green meadow. At an office, in your home, your apartment, in a hospital bed, in a school room, this week, remember that the Good Shepherd is with you. You can really choose to rest in Him. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. It was interesting as I read, sheep get nervous when water is loud and running fast. And part of that fear is that if sheep, their wool, if it gets wet, it becomes several times greater than the weight of their own body, and it becomes so heavy that they will drown. So for sheep to approach water, they must make sure that it's still water. And yet again, there is another alternative, and it's to live in constant noise, rushing, living on the edge, and the irritation factor becomes so great, so high, that I miss each present moment to be refreshed by the shepherd. The bottom line to a different way of doing life hinges on this one thing alone. Who will be your shepherd? Dr. Gill, who is an expert on sheep, says, but don't think that sheep are just stupid. He says they can recognize an individual and carry the memory of that individual for up to 2 years. He says sheep also respond to facial expression. They prefer a smile to a frown, to a grimace. Go figure. Gill says that persons with a calm and confident manner are far more effective shepherds than those who are nervous, frantic, and uptight. Sheep like a calm shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again, for this is what my Father has commanded. A great shepherd just calls to his sheep. A great shepherd just walks before them, and the sheep know that he knows where the best pasture is, that he knows where the still water is. He is a really good shepherd. And if you're going to make Jesus your shepherd, you must just simply follow him in this moment and in the next and in the next. You won't be able to do that unless you trust the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And you will, my friend, you will. Death will not be your final word, but it will be the word of the good shepherd. You will live in the house of the Lord forever. We pray this week, God, that you will teach us, draw us, help us to make those choice points where we will live truly with Jesus as our good shepherd, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. God bless you.
And I love the Lord. He heard my voice. He heard my cry. He turned his ear when I called for mercy. And he heard my cry. Let's sing together. I love the Lord. And I love the Lord. He heard my voice. He heard my cry. He turned his ear when sorrow overwhelmed me. Oh, he heard my cry. So when you gotta declare it, for he is so good. Oh, for he is good. For he is good. Yes, he is good. For he is so very good to me. Oh, for he is good. For he is good. Yes, he is good. Let's take it up. Declare it again. I love the Lord.
cause I love the Lord. He heard my voice, he heard my cry, he turned his ear when sorrow overwhelmed me. Oh, he heard my cry.
Thank you guys so much for being with us today online. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, or if you want to know more about what it means to follow Christ, please let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address below or go to our webpage listed below as well. Well, let me close with this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. See you guys next week.